This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I respect her greatly, and I feel very close to her in terms of philosophy, but of course she was wrong. You cannot compare what the Nazis did in concentration camps, unfortunately, is without any historical. I mean, it's a horrible moment in history. There's no way to compare.
That's, everybody's favorite mayor.
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
Making some sense with another New Yorker that we continue to hear from.
I am shook
on a regular basis. Is it weird to hear Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Tony, you had this story yesterday, talking about the term concentration camps and being like, academically speaking, the definition of a concentration camp, and going on and like trying to explain what her words mean and while they're okay, when you realize that as a conservative, somebody who's on the right side of the aisle, you even sneeze in the wrong direction, there is no explaining it. And there's certainly no changing anybody's mind about what you intended to say.
And she's wrong about the definition.
Do you still have that pulled up?
I do.
You do?
I do.
From yesterday?
A place where large numbers of people, this is the definition of concentration camp, a place where large numbers of people, especially political prisoners or members of persecuted minorities, are deliberately imprisoned in a relatively small area with inadequate facilities, sometimes to provide forced labor or await mass execution.
Oh.
So
forced labor, mass execution.
Forced labor, no.
Deliberately.
Mass execution, no. The very first part, deliberately imprisoned, no.
No.
So nothing about what is happening at the southern border fits the definition of concentration camp.
Nobody in one of these detention facilities at the southern border gets there without putting themselves in a position to be there. There is something you can do to guarantee yourself that you will never, ever, ever be in one of these detention facilities. Don't come here illegally. It's pretty much all there is to it. Now, people do come here and they are put in facilities. And the question that you have to ask yourself is what happens to those individuals when they come here? Is, I guess, Ocasio-Cortez's response is let them in. Just let them cross.
Yeah.
Do you remember that comment that Hillary Clinton made? I feel like it was before the 2016 campaign. I feel like it was something that was brought up in the 2016 campaign. But she was talking about how she dreamt of a borderless Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That is what we didn't elect in 2016. You had borderless Western Hemisphere against build the wall. And you know what won? Build the wall. I know that there's a popular vote. I've heard of this. But yeah, it's when you listen to Ocasio-Cortez and her explaining away, she's kind of her own entity in the same way. There are so many similarities. Everybody, hold on tight. Keep driving straight down the road. Don't run into the car in front of you in the drive-thru. Ocasio-Cortez and Donald Trump have a lot of the same type of things going for them.
They sure do.
There is so much similarities. The information inside the structure is very different, but the way these people are structured is very much the same. They grab headlines. They say something, they tweet something, they put something on social media, people pay attention to it. All the time. One of them is the president. So obviously that makes a lot of sense. And Ocasio-Cortez, I saw Chris Starwalt tweeted last night. I remember a time where we didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what first term legislators had to say about everything, something like summing up there. But we pay a lot of attention to what Ocasio-Cortez says. Should we? I get people who tell me, oh, Annie, I wish you wouldn't talk about her. I wish you didn't give her so much publicity. But I think to ignore what Ocasio-Cortez is, she is the future of this party. She is the bookend to the Bernie Sanders end of the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders, I mean, who's older than Bernie Sanders in the Democratic Party actively right now? There's probably a senator or something, I don't know.
Maybe so, but we wouldn't know. We don't know who that is.
Joe is close.
I think Bernie Sanders
2 years younger?
I think they're 2 years apart, yeah. And I think Bernie's 2 years older than, and they're both older than Trump. And they're all
he's young.
Mid to late, yeah.
Bernie's 77 and Biden is 76.
Oh, okay, wow. Yeah.
I knew Biden was close.
So when you consider where Ocasio-Cortez fits into this Democratic Party, where you have a Bernie Sanders and an Ocasio-Cortez both suggesting that socialism is not a bad word, and I would identify myself as a socialist, and I have no shame for doing that. Why would I? You know, because we're not a socialist country. Let's listen to the leader of the Democratic Party in the House.
These members of Congress they come and represent their district and their point of view, and they take responsibility for the statements that they make. I'm not up to date on her most recent one. I saw something in the news, but I haven't spoken
so
to
many.
Her about that. I do have some comments to make to my caucus writ large about the political nature of how politically charged the atmosphere is. So understand that while the Republicans have no interest in holding the president accountable for his words, they will misrepresent anything that you say just if you have one word in the sentence that they can exploit.
Welcome to the party, Democrats. Give me a break, Nancy. Is this what it feels like for you? Do you feel bad for yourself and your people who are constantly being misrepresented? Does it make you sad? Is it frustrating to constantly have people trying to misrepresent the statements that you make that suggest that the detention centers at our southern border are the same as concentration camps? Because that statement pretty much speaks for itself. She's trying to take this narrative that Republicans have said for a long time about the media misrepresenting or angling everything that is said or clipping or taking things out of context. With politicians, which happens to all politicians all the time. This is not new information. But people have an agenda? Oh, really, Nancy?
What?
Welcome to the club. How does it feel? We'll get you a card. It's silly to think that Nancy Pelosi is going to say to the American people or to her caucus specifically, well, they're going to misrepresent everything you say. Like everything. Basically, what she's saying there is any criticism that exists towards these Democrats in the House, any criticism that exists there is probably based on a misrepresentation. So I'm not even going to take it seriously. And it is also funny to me that Nancy Pelosi, there are so many Ocasio-Cortez statements that Nancy doesn't know what the latest one is that she would have to defend against.
I don't think she cares either.
No,
she's like,
she doesn't
whatever
care.
That one was.
She makes a really good point there where she says these people run and represent their districts. It is so vital that people understand how different one district is from another. This is the original statement.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border. And that is exactly what they are. They are concentration camps.
She repeats herself three times. How can you possibly misunderstand what she's saying there?
No, and then she even goes and says, I'm choosing my words carefully. I'm not being a bomb thrower. I know exactly what I'm saying. So she's not, you can't say that she said them off the cuff or that she was taken out of context. She doubled down. She said them multiple times on multiple different days. She made the same statement. She clarified by saying, I'm choosing my words carefully. I'm not being a bomb thrower.
We have like 7 or 8 checks and balances on what she meant and intended to say.
Yeah.
And she's doubled down on it since then.
Yeah.
She's
and
like,
so
no,
any
I...
Democrat, Nancy Pelosi or otherwise, that is trying to say, well, she's being taken out of context, or, well, you can't just hold one, you know, one statement. You know, she could have just been speaking off the cuff or whatever. No, you can't say any of that.
Wrong. Yeah. Real quick here, let's get to Charles's call. Charles, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thank you for taking the call. I have criticized anybody that uses Nazi Germany towards anybody. And as far as calling whoever got called a Nazi, that's hate speech, as far as I'm concerned. Complete hate speech on either side of the aisle.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just no two ways about it.
Charles, I think that's a great point. Thanks for calling in the show there. Not so much calling this particular conversation isn't about the word Nazi, but it absolutely is incorporated into the larger conversation where when you say concentration camps, I don't care if you even think there is a different definition of concentration camps. In politics, you're supposed to know what all of the definitions are, and you're supposed to be cognizant of how anybody would be affected by every word that you say, which is why being a politician is so difficult. So if you're going to throw a term out there like concentration camps and you have an understanding of that word being one thing, and even after the fact, if you said something that you did not intend to be that way and then you realize, wow, that was heard in a very different way, that's the time to apologize and reclarify what your initial statement was, which is not what she's doing at all. Any reference in conversation, especially in a political realm that has to do with concentration camps, Adolf Hitler, Nazi Germany, any of this needs to be in the context of concentration camps and Nazi Germany and Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler is the worst human being that this world has ever seen, at least in this lifetime that I'm aware of. The things that he was able to do and empowered to do are so disgusting that I think that we probably don't talk about them enough because they're that horrific. So when you start throwing the word around Nazi to talk about somebody who's militant that you don't like and you completely disagree with, there are other words that you can choose because what the Nazis did is probably not what the person you're talking about did. And if it is, you should report them to the police. Those types of words have a connotation in global history that out of respect for understanding exactly who was victimized by those individuals and how absolutely terrible it is, you should not demean it. You should not water it down for any purposes. Use it in the context with which it's supposed to exist. Real quick here, Jim, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, first of all, let me mention one more thing, one other thing. Nazis, their full title was National Socialists.
Yeah.
So people forget that. But as far as AOC, hey, I say leave her alone. Let her talk. She's doing wonders for the Republican Party. No one's taking someone that sounds like a 12-year-old little girl seriously. So let her talk.
Yeah.
Because if she's a representative of the Democrats, people are going to line up to vote Republican.
Jim, I'm with you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Because I believe that's true. I think that it's easy to let the facts speak for themselves, which is why, you know, we were having this conversation off air and kind of talking about it. Like when people give people kind of mean nicknames, mm-hmm. I know that people do that. I understand that. And that's the way people talk. I get it. I don't really like to do it because I can play a clip from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and like it's almost like I'm going to drop her mic from her because she is so ridiculous in her statements. That why do I need to aggressively mm-hmm. demean her in a way that she, you know, from an ideological standpoint, it's all good. AOC's got this herself. I don't need to put her in a position that she hasn't already put herself in.
We don't want to take away anything from the ideas that she's putting out. Let her put those ideas out there and
100%.
The people will decide.
Yes, absolutely. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to the highlights. And I'm going to keep getting to your phone calls here, 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797 if you want to join this conversation. It's a crazy show today. We've got Tyrus at 110, interested to talk to him about this reparations conversation, and then excited for this one at 125, and I'm glad that I have Tony in here because he's like buddies with Burgess Owens, former Oakland Raiders Super Bowl champion.
Love that guy.
Yes, so he is on with us at 125. He testified in front of Congress yesterday, I believe, in the same conversations you saw Danny Glover talking about it. Burgess Owens was involved in this reparations conversation. He's a black former football player who basically said, I used to be a Democrat until I wised up. And if we're going to do anything about restoration here, maybe we should take it to the Democrats who put our people in this position that they're in today. Whoa! Wow! So Burgess Owens at 125. And then at 2 o'clock, starting at 2 o'clock, the whole 2 o'clock hour, Hans von Spakovsky and Jim Carafano in studio with us to give them a little warm-up before the big Mark Cox Speaker Series event tonight with those two at Lindenwood. I think you can still get tickets. 971talk.com/events to reserve your free tickets. We'll be back in a second.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. Hope you're enjoying your day. I would say at least 3 days a week, I have to look at my watch or my computer or some papers that I have printed out here to remember what day it is. Is that normal?
No, I think that that's... Yes, it is normal. No, I was about to do a Midwest thing and say, no, yeah, which really means yeah.
No, yeah, totally. Not at all.
And yeah, no means no.
Yeah, no.
So I was about to pull that on you, but yes, that's normal.
Do you lose track of days, Tony? I mean, you've
got all the time.
You've got a lot going on. I don't know that it's kids and schedules and work, and we're going to New York City next week, and it's just like I have no idea what day it is. If it's Thursday, that means Tyrus is coming up at 1:10. So I know that, so I can tell you that. But it just it's
and I'll tell you, once we step into this building, it is work.
Yes.
There is no downtime. There is no pitter-pattering around. It is work. And I think that that has a lot to do with what day of the week. Where are we at right
and
now?
And when we step out of the building, it's still work.
It's still, people still have our phone number.
Absolutely. And I still have Katie's Facebook Messenger, poor girl, for sure. All right, let's do highlights right now. I am filling in because Frank is out. So I want to talk to you about this Iran shooting down a U.S. drone. A Fox News alert came across my phone early in the morning. And that's one that I see and I kind of look at like, wait, what? What is going on here? This is all seems very complicated to me, which before I tell you this story, I'm going to tell you that Jim Carafano is going to be in studio with us at 2 o'clock. And I'm going to say, Jim, what? Tell me what's going on here. Are we nervous? What is upon us? So this from Fox News. Amid heightened tensions with the United States, a U.S. Navy MQ-4C high-altitude drone was shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile Wednesday evening over the Strait of Hormuz in international airspace. A commander for Iran's Revolutionary Guard said the shooting sends a, quote, clear message to the United States. He said, while Iran has no intention of war with anyone, it's, quote, ready for war. The shootdown of the RQ-4 Global Hawk comes after the U.S. military previously alleged Iran fired a missile at another drone last week that responded to the attack on two oil tankers near the Gulf of Oman. The U.S. blames Iran for the attack on the ships. Tehran has denied the allegations. Iran recently has quadrupled its production of low-enriched uranium and threatened to boost its enrichment closer to weapons-grade levels, trying to pressure Europe for new terms in the 2015 nuclear deal. So, James Carafano, J.J. Carafano, Jim Carafano, all the same guy, going to be in studio with us here in the 2 o'clock hour to lay out for us what is at stake in this Iran conflict. And then also we'll be with Mark Cox and Hans von Spakovsky, friend of the show as well, tonight at 7 o'clock at Lindenwood at the Jay Scheidegger Center, and you can get your tickets at 971talk.com/events.
It'd be great if there was three different people. J.J. Carafano.
But they like
Jim
walked
Carafano,
in triplicate.
And James Carafano. Yeah.
I mean, that's the first question I'm going to ask him. What do I call you? I think it's Jim. Jim.
Yeah.
But I've heard him go by
yeah.
all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's Jim. Jim.
Missouri's only abortion clinic already facing the threat of losing its license says it will defy the state by refusing to perform a required pelvic exam days before an abortion. A Planned Parenthood spokeswoman confirmed today, and this had been in a CBS News report, and the spokeswoman confirmed today the St. Louis clinic will no longer perform the exam during a consultation at least 72 hours before the procedure, as required by the state health department. Planned Parenthood calls the requirement disrespectful and dehumanizing.
Dehumanizing, huh?
Hmm. It's a peculiar choice of words.
A pelvic exam.
The 32.
How can you be talking about women? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, please.
How can you be talking about women's health? And I'm telling you right now, this is not TMI. This is just the real, legit truth. Pregnancy involves pelvic exams. And if you are going to be engaging in this type of healthcare, women's healthcare, generally speaking, that's the way it is. So anyway. Oh my gosh, it makes me so mad. It makes me so mad.
Yeah, same. The 32-time Jeopardy champ, James Halshauer, donated more than $1,000 to pancreatic cancer research in Trebek's name. Halshauer gave $1,109.14 to a Chicago area woman's fundraiser and wrote on the donation website for Alex Trebek and all the other survivors. He gave money, which is fantastic, but he won more than $2.4 million.
I was going to say.
So it's a great and a thoughtful thing to do, but.
But I could donate $1,100.14.
Correct.
Wait a second. Was it a private fundraiser? Is it a national?
I think that number has some meaning. I think maybe that was what
it was.
He bet
his daughter's birthday. It was. Oh, it's okay. His daughter's birthday. That's what it was.
Okay.
Yes. But is it to like a local?
You know, I would probably have to read a little bit more into that.
Because I wonder, I was wondering how many people would hear that number and go, how much did he win again? And that's how much he donated. This is where you get into, when you get into other people's business.
You don't want to complain about donations.
And if it's one place that he donated $1,000, what about all the other places he could have potentially donated money? And also, he could have not donated
$1,000. That's true.
Correct.
So this is where everybody wants to all of a sudden judge everybody else's money, and you're complaining about not, you know, being able to make, you're living paycheck to paycheck, you can't pay the bills while you're holding your iPhone in your Starbucks.
Right.
Let's talk about, you know, getting too judgy on how people spend their money.
So, yeah, that the name...
I'm a little judgy.
The amount did have significance. It was his daughter's birthday. That's how much money he donated. And so shortly after Trebek found out that Trebek was diagnosed with the pancreatic cancer, he had this idea in his brain that he was going to be donating to a fund for that.
I would hope that there are probably many other places he is going to be charitable. Maybe, maybe not. But
we're judging him.
That would lower my judgment. He, again, everything Annie just said is right, and I agree with that 100%.
Can you clip that, please?
Annie is so right.
Yes.
But whenever I read the story, I was like, $1,000.
Hey, it's a $100 donation. The Cardinals beat Miami last night 2-1.
They've now won three
of their last four games. They entered the day two games behind the Cubs for first place in the Central Division.
Did you watch that game?
Play the Marlins again? No.
They were tied in the 10th. They had the bases loaded in the bottom of the 10th with no outs. And they won it on a solo shot by Goldschmidt in the 11th. I'll just put it that way. And I didn't know they were playing because I was watching a very important 9U baseball game last night. I didn't know that they were still on when I got home. And the only reason why I turned on the game and realized it was still going on is because after the 10th inning, Cardinals Twitter was in meltdown mode after bases loaded,
nobody out, not getting the run home. That's tough to take.
Goldschmidt hitting a bomb, I think, will make that kind of just...
Yeah, that fixes it.
But that hurts a lot more if he doesn't.
Same two teams play tonight at Busch Stadium at 6:15. And the St. Louis Blues are now a 100% locally owned National Hockey League franchise. The 16-person ownership group led by Chairman Tom Stillman completed its acquisition of the minority interest in the team previously held by Sports Capital Holdings yesterday and now owns 100% of the team.
fantastic.
They are
locally
now
owned.
Locally owned.
Shop local, folks.
That's right.
Go to the Blues. Yeah, it's exciting. And I saw that Ryan O'Reilly won the best defensive something.
Defensive forward.
Yes. Yes.
Best, yeah.
Yes. I don't remember.
That's probably,
if you said
that's a trophy.
If you
the best defensive forward is a trophy.
If you said the name of the award,
so
I
is the best offensive defenseman. That's a trophy.
I
also
know that Berube didn't win Coach of the Year, which is mind blowing. Mind blowing.
Did O'Reilly win the Lady Bing?
Who won the Lady Bing?
Chandler Bing. I don't know. I don't think Ryan O'Reilly did. And I know that Bennington didn't win the Rookie of the Year either.
He didn't.
What the heck?
Alexander
Katie,
can my boy?
Can I give you a phone number to call someone to chew them out about that?
I will.
You should.
I'm going to say.
Can we record that phone call or do it on the air? I think there's probably some law that says we have to notify them. But paying attention to the awards a little bit on Twitter after the fact, the Selke trophy is the one that I think that Ryan O'Reilly won. But I'm watching it and I'm like thinking, oh, the Blues are going to win. They got to win some awards. So Ryan
O'Reilly, win them all.
But who was it that I was? I think it was maybe Tom Ackerman's tweet that was saying that if the Blues either need to win the ownership award, the team owner award, or the coaching award, because it's got to be one or the other. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to make some absolutely drastic moves to get this team worst to first, and didn't happen.
Yeah, Bennington didn't win Rookie of the Year either.
Yeah, my husband was telling me that the one who did win Rookie of the Year played in like twice as many games as Bennington did. So
okay,
do you approve now?
No, I'm still mad. Benny.
No. Benny.
The Lady Bing was the only one that mattered. So not bringing that home hurts.
I saw I saw Ryan O'Reilly in front of his four massive trophies, and it looked good. He looked like he's having a heck of a week.
Yeah,
the Selke
best
trophy?
Defensive forward, the Selke Trophy. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what. That's
how
what
Coach
O'Reilly
Berube
won.
Doesn't win best coach, I don't understand, but I don't know enough about all of this to argue it. I'm gonna put myself right next to you in Katie and just be indignantly offended, and I'm not gonna explain everything, which is how most people deal with politics. So
yes.
You don't know why you hate somebody. You don't know how to explain why you were for something or against something, but man, are you confident that you're right. Not you, listeners, 97.1, because you're here. So you know. Let's take a quick break. More phone calls when we return. 314-241-9797. Rose, hold on. You are going to be first up when we return, and we'll fill up the phone lines elsewhere. 314-241-9797. Remember, with the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to talk more about reparations, which is really hot right now, that conversation in Capitol Hill. Tyrus is going to join us at 110, and Burgess Owens at 125, who is part of that testimony. We'll be back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think I just found. Take me the
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Tony, I have a question for you.
Fire away.
It's actually a question about something that has to do with Pat Sajak. How do you feel about that?
Love it.
Pat Sajak tweets today, like 40 minutes ago, "I know it's a generational thing, but it's still difficult to get used to exchanging messages with grown men and getting back smiley faces and short videos of people applauding
Man.
Or spitting out their coffee."
Pat, I'm with you, bro.
Would you send him an emoji with the two hands
I
up?
I just started sending emojis like a month ago. I understand their purpose. I understand that it's a short way to express a thought, and I get it.
But it's weird for dudes.
Yeah.
That's
weird
says,
for old. I think it's
says,
weird for old
it's
dudes.
It's difficult to get used to exchanging messages with grown men,
yeah.
Of which you are one.
Yeah, I think it's weird for 40-year-old dudes.
If you were to, if we,
to send
Katie,
another 40-year-old
and
dude
I
a smiley face.
We're in a group text, which is in existence. Yes. Would you be more likely to send an emoji to a group text with Katie and me than you would with,
no,
like, Jeff Allen?
No. No, when I made the decision that I was okay with sending
when
emojis,
when I made the decision, this is like accepting Jesus as your savior.
Yeah. When I made the decision that it was okay for me to send emojis, it was across the board. It wasn't for certain groups or not certain groups.
You're non-discriminatory?
I still hug dudes.
With my emoji sending, no. I am non-discriminatory.
What is it about it that makes it feel,
I don't know,
icky?
I don't know.
Is it too girly?
No.
Is that what it is?
No. No, it's too childish.
Juvenile?
Yes.
But now you do it?
Yeah, I gave up.
Do you find emojis or gifts more?
I haven't sent gifts. I haven't ever sent a gift. GIF. GIF.
Whatever the heck that's called.
I think they're pronounced GIFs.
Yeah.
You say GIF?
I say GIF, but the original person who created them calls them
GIFs.
GIFs.
Right. I think I've read that before, and it's almost one of those things that, like, everybody just calls it a GIF now. So can we just agree that it's a GIF? Or every time someone says the word, now we have to explain
how
it is.
If you want something wrong, then go ahead.
Oh, it's been a while. I haven't had one of these conversations with you in a while. I just think that it's so socially acceptable to be wrong in this case that it's almost become right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Here's another thing for you.
You know when you're like, does your car read your text messages? when it reads that you have a GIF, it says GIF. Your car will say GIF.
Oh, I've never read a GIF before. It says GIF.
Mine will say like GIF 2.498, like it'll give the code of the.
Wouldn't it be awesome
if
your computer in your car would explain what was happening in that?
Yeah.
For you? Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome.
Katie, this one's
it's
for you.
It's a GIF of O.J. Simpson.
Are you trying on a glove?
Yeah. Are you a Madonna fan?
No.
Are you not a Madonna fan?
I just have no interest in Madonna, like music-wise, activism-wise.
Speaking of Madonna activism, did you see this story? Do you know what I was to ask you about?
Mm-mm.
She wants to have a meeting with the Pope to tell the Pope,
so do I,
that Jesus would support abortion.
She wants to
this
tell
is where
the
I
Pope,
let you let the fra- one of the phrases I hate the most. Let that sink in.
She wants to tell the Pope
how Jesus would
Jesus,
be pro-abortion.
You can end it. You don't even have to finish the sentence. You don't even have to tell me what the topic is. That Madonna wants to tell the Pope what Jesus thinks about anything.
Madonna
is laughable.
Because
Madonna,
she knows all
she's
about
the
it.
Mother. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, she wants to go.
But he for sure is not going to be okay with abortion.
It's apparent to me as a Lutheran, not as a Catholic, but the Pope is in the news quite a bit, mm-hmm, that this happens to be a very pro-life Pope.
And just because, now I will say Pope Francis is very pro-life, but he also has more liberal leanings than many of the other popes before him. That is not to say that he is
his
going to say...
His liberal leanings are like our lifestyle based.
Correct.
I am disgusted when people call abortion a religious issue.
And this is also an instance where, Madonna, you've gotten too big for your britches, honey. You, just because everybody...
She doesn't wear britches a whole lot.
Yeah, that's true.
She needs britches to be too big for.
She just thinks she is all-knowing. And I'm like, you're not. You're just a celebrity.
Do you want to know the two questions that she would ask the Pope?
Yeah. Let her rip.
What do you really think he thought of women regarding to Jesus? And here's the second one. And don't you think Jesus would agree that a woman has the right to choose what to do with her body? And I would say, Madonna, do you know what the Sixth Commandment is? Like, you're supposed to love something more than you love your body. That's the whole point. If we're talking religion here. If we're talking about sexuality in the context of Jesus, and we're talking to the Pope, let's not talk about it in a social justice capacity and try to shove it down the pipe of the Bible, the Word of God, and religion, and let the Pope in on what culture says. Most of what Jesus did biblically was counterculture. And what is counterculture what a lot of people, like, I remember my dad explaining to me about, you know, growing up in the 60s and the 70s, and everybody was counterculture. That was kind of the movement of the times. Was culture was maybe more 50s oriented, how we think of it, post-war baby boom era. And the counterculture, the counter to the Pleasantville way of thinking, and you know, the very conservative, not politically but socially, way of living, was what we saw from the 70s. It's interesting to me to hear people who grew up in the 70s who are conservatives explain the 70s. I'm sure it was a great time. I wasn't there. But, you know, talking about how culturally, how far it got away from what you would consider laid out for you in the Bible as far as the Ten Commandments go. You know, if the sex, love, and rock and roll and drugs and all that stuff, the way that all was meant to be specifically counterculture. So somehow or another, that breeds the 80s, which is a decade of lots of prosperity and peace. And you get into the 90s and Bill Clinton gets to enjoy, I guess the peace was more in the 90s, but you get an economy that's booming in the 90s. And then comes 2001 and 9/11, and everything kind of gets ripped back away from that more, I guess, ideal way of living. But when you consider Madonna, just the visual of Madonna sitting down with the Pope and be like, let me explain some things to you about what a woman should be able to do with her body.
Ugh.
What is the Pope going to say back to that? I don't really delve into the ins and outs of the Pope. Like, there are lots of stories that come out. The Pope makes a political comment. I don't like to report on those because I'm not Catholic. And since I'm not Catholic, the Pope's authority is not adjacent to me, in my view. But I do know that it is adjacent to a lot of people's view, and that's their choice. So I respect that realm for what it is, and I'm not going to criticize the Pope on what he's saying politically when my Christianity is not Catholic. It's just like, it is what it is. I'll let it lie. And if Catholics want to criticize it up and down, the Catholics have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Lutheran. There's a Lutheran election right now for the man who will be in charge of the Lutheran synod that I'm involved in. It's very political. I'm not interested in it because I know there are a lot of people who delve into that, and I could bore you with the details, but you're probably not interested in that either. And our person, I don't want to correlate the president of the synod with the Pope, because that's not the way that works. But you consider that Madonna is so dripping with arrogance.
Yes.
To think that, like, a virgin is going to go walk in there and tell the Pope what's up about what women should be able to do with their body, and how Jesus would have thought she's appropriating Jesus into her. Oh my gosh. Culture is dead.
I can't make sense of any of it.
It's so arrogant. According to this article in the Daily Wire, her optimism seems unwarranted. However, Pope Francis has been extremely vocal about the evil of abortion. Last month, for example, the Holy Father likened abortion to, quote, hiring a hitman. If she does get the invitation to come speak to the Pope, please televise it for all of the world to see. I don't care if you're Catholic or not. Madonna could use a little Pope in her life. Maybe that would make things a little bit better. Anyway, just, you know, two celebrities, Pat Sajak and Madonna. Making the news.
Making headlines.
I'm curious. Let's put up a Facebook poll. I'll put it up right now. Do you send emojis and GIFs in messages, or do you find it difficult to bring yourself to that point? We'll have that conversation on our Facebook page at facebook.com/AndyFryShow. Tyrus and Burgess Owens when we return.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.